views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and creativity. Every week on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself and live your dreams. You could find out more at thelucidplanet.com and stream all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com, iTunes, and SoundCloud by searching for Lucid Planet Radio. You can also connect with me, Dr. Kelly, on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. Also here at Lucid Planet Radio, we are very pleased to announce that we have recently been picked up by CRN Digital Talk Radio, bringing us to over 11 million homes in the U.S. and over 100 countries, including 25 stations just in Australia. This is a really great time to jump in and to become an advertiser or sponsor of our show. You can just go to the website, thelucidplanet.com, or email me directly at drkellyneff@gmail.com. That's drkellyneff@gmail.com to find out more. Stay tuned. Now, here on Lucid Planet Radio, wow, we have really started out 2016 with a bang. And we have been delving into some of the most relevant and intriguing topics in the study of consciousness, the soul, the spirit, and our place in the universe. And so far this year, we've had some amazing guests here to talk about spirit, consciousness, psychedelics, art, and culture. And today, I'm absolutely thrilled to continue that trend by welcoming a true pioneer, really a legend in the field of psychedelic research and psychiatry, Dr. Rick Strassman, who is the author of DMT, The Spirit Molecule, and many other works in the field. In case you wanted a little bit of background on Dr. Strassman, between 1990 and 1995, he performed the first new United States clinical research with psychedelic drugs in a whole generation, focusing primarily on DMT as well as psilocybin, and he received both federal and private funding to make this happen. He has authored or co-authored approximately 40 peer-reviewed scientific papers, and he has served as a consultant to various government, nonprofit, and for-profit entities. His book, DMT, The Spirit Molecule, which was published in 2001, has sold 150,000 copies and been translated into 12 languages. Wow. And is the basis of a successful documentary that he co-produced, which, of course, we had one of the directors, I believe, Mitch Schultz, on the show a couple months ago. Dr. Strassman is also the co-author of Inner Paths to Outer Space in 2007 and author of DMT and the Soul of Prophecy, which is his most recent book. And he is currently a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the University of New Mexico School of Medicine and lives in Gallup, New Mexico. So let's please welcome Dr. Strassman to the show. Hi.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks for having me on your show today.
It's wonderful to have you on the show, Dr. Strassman. I am very excited and a little humbled, and I can't wait to speak with you about all of these topics are so fascinating. Consciousness, the soul, psychedelics, and I think it's really wonderful that we live in a time where this has become such a huge topic across, you know, not just like within kind of new agey or hippie culture movements, but actually in science too. And so this is very exciting to me.
It's interesting. I agree with your appraisal. in a way, it's kind of like a return to the medieval, philosophical milieu, which at one time really saw no difference between science and religion, that the two could be reconciled without any difficulty, and they could both help place each other in a context that really didn't experience much dissonance at all.
Do you think that that's kind of, I mean, we know we're slowly seeing this kind of integration between spirituality and science. You know, we've got quantum physics and all of these kind of findings that seem to reinforce almost like a soul outside of the body or a consciousness that exists outside of the body. Do you think that we're approaching kind of a transcendence point where we have science and spirituality kind of in a cohesive expression?
I think so. With respect to the strengths of the scientific method, it's able to apply a particular technique in order to generate objective data, and I don't think it's inaccurate to suggest that religion takes over at the borders of science. But those borders of science are extending ever deeper and ever further into things which the religious traditions have traditionally occupied themselves with, things like the invisible realms, ethical and moral questions, theology, the nature of the universe, the proper way to live, those kinds of things. So a few of those, or some of those, are now being explored using the tools of science, such as the nature of the usually invisible realms, and the production of religious experience experimentally or clinically, and questions regarding the nature of the soul, what's the difference between life and death, what happens to the mind or the soul after death. So I think as long as the conversation keeps flowing in two directions, we'll be approaching as much of a reconciliation between the two worldviews as possible.
Yeah, I thank you for that, because I agree, and I don't think that they're necessarily mutually exclusive. I think that science just gets really pushed to the limit when we're talking about kind of, you mentioned invisible realms. You know, when we're talking about a user's DMT experience where they are interacting with beings in another dimension, we have self-report. Right? But at what point it seems like science can only go so far.
Right. I think, what kind of occurs after you've reached the limit of objective data is you begin to speculate. And speculation partakes of the imagination. And the imagination in the religious mind is quite highly developed. It can approximate objective data. I think you can start to approximate objective data using subjective imagination, and then through the tools of science, you could start comparing the information obtained through the imagination with what can be obtained through experimental research.
I love that. I mean, I was really into qualitative data analysis when I was in graduate school. And after a while, when you reach a certain level of consensus, and I'm sure I'd love to hear you speak to this, in terms of the research that you've done, many of our listeners are familiar with DMT, the spirit molecule. They might not know what's come after, but the idea that you can take so many reports from people, and after a while you analyze them, and that synthesis across all of these experiences, it really does count for something significant.
Right. Well, if you look at the case of dreams, nobody's really been able to objectively photograph dreams and prove that they are objectively real. But, you know, everybody dreams and it's, you know, consensusly agreed that we dream and this is the nature of dreams. You know, so I think you could use, you know, dreams as an analogy in this case.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. There's so much of our existence that we take as face value that it exists. But then if we were to apply the kind of empirical requirements to it, it might not necessarily stand up as being able to be provable by science right now. But maybe that's not as important as trying to understand and kind of like delve down to these deeper issues and deeper levels of consciousness. I guess my question for you is, what is your goal kind of with where your research is right now? What are you kind of hoping to put out there for people? We have a break in like 2 minutes. So just like a summary kind of like where Dr. Strassman's going.
Well, I think that as important as the existence of these states, these highly altered states is, I think the important thing is what they're trying to teach, what is the information contained in those states that otherwise isn't accessible. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been focusing on for the last few years and what I hope to keep on getting out there.
That's awesome. And I mean, for those of us out there who aren't familiar, how many participants would you say over the course of, say, the last 20 years have you had in your studies on psychedelics and DMT?
Oh, well, you know, it's been a long time since I've done hands-on research. Mm-hmm. Actually, I wrapped up my studies in New Mexico in 1995. Mm-hmm. When I did run the studies, we started in 1990 and ran about, you know, 5 dozen people through around, you know, 400 doses of the drug at, you know, varying strengths.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk much more about a little bit more about the research protocol when we come back from the break. So I am Dr. Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Rick Strassman talking about DMT, the soul, consciousness, and so much more. So stick with us, and we will see you in a couple minutes. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Kelly from Lucid Planet Radio. I want to tell you about Lucidity Festival, the amazing arts, music, and healing event happening in Santa Barbara, California, April 8th through the 10th. Join me for 3 days and check out amazing artists like Haywire, Blue Tech, Keller Williams, and Kyla Scintilla, as well as workshops, healing services, creative villages, dancing all night at the Silent Disco, and interactive art displays. Also leading up to the festival, April 4th through the 7th, is the first Lucid University immersive learning opportunity. If you want to have fun, grow, connect, and better your life, mark your calendar April 4th through the 10th for the entire Lucidity experience. You can save over $100 when you bundle tickets for Lucid University and Lucidity Festival. Learn more about both events and get your tickets today at lucidityfestival.com. Use my special discount code LucidPlanet when you purchase for a $15 discount.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is Dr. Rick Strassman, who is talking with us about DMT, God, consciousness, and more. But before we continue, I just want to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you, Dr. Strassman, to find out more about your research and appearances. Could you give them your info?
Sure. Well, the easiest way to reach me is through my website, rickstrassman.com. You can order books on my site, and I will inscribe and autograph them. And I've got links to my videos, my lectures, interviews, and there's a contact link too. So I, you know, generally answer every first email I get. So feel free to write with any questions or comments or ideas. You know, lots of students contact me with, you know, their they're interested in doing this kind of research and are interested in advice about what kind of academic trajectory to follow. Yeah. Or they're at the point of being able to do research and want to bat ideas around regarding specific experimental, you know, questions and protocols.
Are you seeing an influx of students coming in, wanting to do, you know, like psychedelic research or psychedelic psychiatry?
Yeah, you know, I'd say once a week, I get a query from a high school student or a college student, who either read the DMT book or watched the DMT documentary, and, you know, they're inspired to continue their studies and pursue psychedelic research.
Awesome.
I would say it's been holding pretty steady for the last, you know, 5 years or so. Those kinds of queries were rather rare early on. But they increased and they seem to be holding pretty steady.
Well, many people in the field really credit you and what you were able to do by getting that kind of like first approval for many years to study psychedelics in the United States. And many people really credit you with kind of helping to start this new, we're kind of in this like new psychedelic renaissance revolution that's happening maybe in the last, say, 20 years. And it seems to just be exploding. More and more studies are getting approved, and the climate seems to be changing. You know, organizations like MAPS are doing a lot of work across all different types of psychedelic medicine. So I guess my question for you, so thank you, first of all. And then, but my question for you
is,
my question is, what was it like to get that first approval from the federal government?
Well, I mean, obviously it was great, and I could hardly, you know, believe that things had actually gotten that far. But, you know, maybe I could give a little background about how I got interested in the field.
Yes, that'd be great.
And the long and winding, you know, road to, you know, finally getting approval to do the DMT work.
Sure.
So I went to college on the West Coast in the late 60s, early 70s. And, you know, there were two new technologies for altering consciousness that were entering, you know, the Western mind at the time, especially, especially through the West Coast. And those two technologies were Eastern religious meditation practices, and also the psychedelic drugs. And it really struck me how similar descriptions were of the states that were brought on by those two technologies. There were visions and there were voices. There would be extreme emotional responses. There would be new ways of thinking and some novel insights, out of body experiences, increased relatedness with people, the white light, those kinds of things. And at a certain point, I thought that there must be some underlying common biological denominator that was underlying, both syndromes, as it were. Put simplistically, it seemed as if one part of the brain must be stimulated similarly, either through the ingestion of psychedelic drugs or through the practice of particular meditation techniques. To the extent that they resembled each other. And I first began looking at the pineal gland as kind of a spiritual organ, that maybe meditation stimulated the pineal gland and possibly the psychedelic drugs also might stimulate the pineal gland. So I went to college, went to medical school, and then I trained in psychiatry. And after that, I took a year of extra psychopharmacology, research, training in a fellowship. It seemed as if it would be worth looking at the pineal gland in humans, especially, looking at the psychological responses to melatonin, which is the primary pineal hormone. This was in the early 1980s, and there wasn't much, known about melatonin in humans at the time. So, the pineal gland, had always been revered as like a spiritual gland in the esoteric, physiologies in both the West and the East. So I'm at reports of, melatonin psychological responses. And there were, some suggestive data, pointing towards some psychedelic effects. We gave melatonin, we took it away, we looked at a number of biological and psychological variables. But there wasn't, much in terms of, psychedelic responses to melatonin, even when we gave, rather high doses. So we established, in a couple other groups at around the same time, established that, pharmacological doses of melatonin were sedating. So I kind of, gave up on, melatonin having psychedelic effects or being some kind of a spiritual compound. And in the meantime, I learned about DMT, which is also made in the body, especially the lungs. It's quite psychedelic, and it had been given safely, to humans in previous clinical research in the 50s and the 60s. So I was interested in DMT because it was a psychedelic compound. It was made in the body. And there were descriptions of its, psychological effects, which, mirrored, some of the non-drug, psychedelic experiences that people have out there, like the near-death state, mystical experiences, religious effects. I could also place, this in context with respect to the MDMA story. I had moved to New Mexico in 1984, and there were a number of, therapists that were doing MDMA, psychotherapy studies in New Mexico. So I learned about, what was going on, and when the DEA scheduled MDMA into the most restrictive category, I was part of a MAPS-inspired and spearheaded project, you know, to get, you know, the DEA to reschedule it from 1 to 3.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I was applying for an IND, you know, the same kind of permits I got for DMT. I was applying, you know, for, you know, for MDMA a number of years before the DMT project even, you know, formed in my mind. You know, but the, you know, but the FDA was incredibly, you know, closed to the idea of giving MDMA to humans because of the emerging, you know, data in lower animals that the drug was neurotoxic. You know, so I, you know, tried and tried for a couple of years to get an MDMA study off the ground, but it was just, you know, too frustrating. And in the meantime, I had, you know, performed the melatonin study, had applied, you know, for permits to give DMT. And at a certain point, the FDA, I think it was even after I left New Mexico in the late 1990s, you know, that I received a letter from the FDA asking me if I wanted to withdraw my MDMA application. So, you know, that's, you know, kind
Thanks,
of,
guys.
You know, to put the DMT, MDMA, you know, yeah. resurgence of, you know, psychedelic, you know, research, and I'm into some context.
Oh my goodness. That's quite the journey. And so when did they approve the DMT study? And oh, we only have like a minute left, just FYI.
Sure. Well, let's see. Yeah, I, you know, submitted all of my paperwork in 1988. And then I finally got approval in November of 1990.
And do you think that was because, like you said, of the previous studies that they did in the 50s and 60s with DMT? Or they, for some reason, I know MDMA just had this like massive blockage, but DMT, maybe they thought, you know, it was safer or it was less threatening? Or why do you think that they approved it more rapidly?
Well, there are a number of reasons, and I could start answering that question, you know, before the break, and I'd like to continue it afterwards.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Why don't we do this?
Yeah, you know,
let's talk about it after the break. And that way we'll have more time to expand upon it. So I'm Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio. And when we come back, Dr. Rick Strassman will explain to us more about DMT, consciousness, and the soul. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Kelly from Lucid Planet Radio. I want to tell you about Lucidity Festival, the amazing arts, music, and healing event happening in Santa Barbara, California, April 8th through the 10th. Join me for 3 days and check out amazing artists like Haywire, Blue Tech, Keller Williams, and Kyla Centilla, as well as workshops, healing services, creative villages, dancing all night at the Silent Disco, and interactive art displays. Also leading up to the festival, April 4th through the 7th, is the first Lucid University immersive learning opportunity. If you want to have fun, grow, connect, and better your life, mark your calendar April 4th through the 10th for the entire Lucidity experience. You can save over $100 when you bundle tickets for Lucid University and Lucidity Festival. Learn more about both events and get your tickets today at lucidityfestival.com. Use my special discount code LucidPlanet when you purchase for a $15 discount.
Awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's ATANAMethod.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and throughout all of these commercial breaks, you have been hearing music from Lucidity Festival artists, including Hollis, Grime Time, Oneness, and Groove Session. You can check them out April 8th to the 10th in Santa Barbara at Lucidity Festival. There's still time to get tickets. Go to lucidityfestival.com and use code LucidPlanet to save $15 off your tickets. You're welcome. Anyway, I am here with Dr. Rick Strassman and And we are talking about DMT, consciousness, God, the soul, and more. Before we went into the break, I asked you, Dr. Strassman, about why you think it was that the DMT study got approved by the feds, but they kind of rejected all of the MDMA studies. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's for a number of reasons. One of them is the drug. DMT had been given safely before in human studies. And there wasn't any evidence of neurotoxicity, major prolonged adverse effects. And it had been studied in animals quite a bit and also had not, demonstrated any major toxic effects. And so that made it possible to be able, to propose a human study without going through a lot of animal, pre-testing, which is the case with a new drug. And I think it also had to do with the study itself. It was purely a, psychopharmacology study. It was a descriptive, mechanistic study. I was going to use, normal volunteers, rather than patients. And we were just going to characterize the effects of the drug rather than, do therapy or produce a mystical experience. Yeah. I think also the study was approved, because of my track record as a clinical, research scientist. My training was good. I had finished up, the melatonin study. I'd gotten some grants. I'd published some papers, so they knew I, could do, human research. So I think it was a, combination of those, three factors. It was the drug, it was the protocol itself, and it was my qualifications.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It sounds kind of like just a perfect coming together of all of these elements at the right time. And it's really, the work's inspired millions of people. It's amazing how much of an impact it's had both on the scientific community and in the psychiatric community, but also just on like kind of the world at large.
Yeah. I think my study or, the kind of career that I, carved out would be a good, lesson in, setting your goals high and putting them in a long view kind of a sight. Because I began to think about doing human psychedelic drug research, when I was 20 in, you know, 1972. You know, so I went to medical school with the long-range plan of doing this kind of research. I went through my psychiatric training with the long-range view of doing this kind of research, and then, you know, got extra, research, training in order to, get myself qualified, to do my studies. And even the melatonin work in a lot of ways was, groundwork. And, that took another 3 years, so I started with, this idea in 72 and gave our first, dose of DMT in late 1990, so wow. I think it bespeaks, the benefit of, persistence, keeping your cards close to your chest and, going to school for as long as you possibly can.
I love that. You hear that, everyone? You can do it, but you really, really have to commit. If you want to make a huge impact and really like manifest your dreams, you have to do the work, and it's worth it. You know, what else are we going to do with our time? Right. I mean, just my opinion. I want to ask you, Dr. Strassman, how your theory has evolved since DMT, the spirit molecule, and now DMT and the soul and the prophecy. How has your understanding of DMT changed as you continue to kind of reflect and continue to hypothesize?
Well, I began my DMT study, bringing in a number of, models to explain what was happening. And ultimately, I didn't really find that any of them were all that great. So I then kind of branched out into what I've been doing for maybe the last 20 years or so. But with respect to the models I had, brought to bear on my research, all three of those, ultimately, posited the unreality of the experiences that people were having on DMT. One of the most striking elements of the DMT experience, I guess there's a number of striking aspects to the DMT experience. One of them is, the nature of the world that people seem to enter into. It's made of light, the light that the world is composed of is, brighter, more, saturated, more intensely colored than anything anybody's ever seen before. It, seems to be a realm which is inhabited by some kind of, sentience, some kinds of some kind of intelligence. And, sometimes the intelligence or, the sentience appears as a being with whom the person interacts with, for the duration of the state. The other thing which is so striking about the DMT experience is the, feeling of reality. It feels as real or more real than everyday reality. It was the combination of those two properties which I tried to place or understand within the three models that I had begun, my research with. So those three models were the psychopharmacological model. In other words, the experience of the DMT world was your brain on drugs, basically. That there were, parts of the brain that were being activated or turned off through the, chemistry of DMT, and everything was just, being, generated in the brain, as opposed to the brain's receiving characteristics, changing in order to be able, to now perceive, something outside of us, which was real, but usually invisible. The other model was the, psychological, model. And in particular, based on my own experience and training, the psychoanalytic or the Freudian model, you know, and well, so that, you know, posited, you know, that the things that one encounters in the DMT state are just, you know, visual or emotional or auditory, you know, representations, you know, symbolic of inner conflicts, inner drives, archetypes. Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to, again, you know, being an externally real slice of reality, which normally we don't see. So the third model that I had, you know, brought to bear was what I, you know, considered a spiritual model, which was, you know, that relating to Zen Buddhism. And also I had a lot of training, study, you know, practice, you know, teaching, you know, within that model. And I was expecting the you know, volunteers, you know, to have the Buddhist enlightenment type of experience of emptiness, the white light, you know, no sense of self, ecstasy, you know, the merging with the ground of being. And everything else, you know, the Zen model would, you know, consider to be, as it were, mental detritus being, you know, shed on the way, you know, towards, you know, the goal of the enlightened, you know, unified state. You know, so, you know, so kind of, you know, there were two strikes going against the Zen model even. You know, one was their, you know, positing, you know, that the visions and the voices of the DMT experience were basically unreal. And also, you know, the goal or you know, the highest, you know, possible outcome of the experience was quite, you know, different, you know, than what occurred in the DMT volunteers.
And so,
in the DMT state, it's extremely interactive. It's extremely relational. And, you know, that was as, you know, far as, you know, people got, it was, you know, the ultimate, you know, DMT experience, as opposed, you know, let's say to the Buddhist, you know, notion of the white light, the, you know, formless, empty state without any sense of self.
Yeah. And wow. And now from your newest book, DMT, The Soul and the Prophecy, or The Soul of Prophecy, excuse me, it looks like, and I'm totally fascinated by this idea, you have this kind of model that we can draw these conclusions between DMT experiences and the prophetic visions described in the Old Testament. And we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm hoping that we can touch upon kind of the new direction here and the understanding that you've come to. So stay with us on Lucid Planet Radio. We'll be right back while wrapping up the show with Dr. Rick Strassman.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Kelly from Lucid Planet Radio. I want to tell you about Lucidity Festival, the amazing arts, music, and healing event happening in Santa Barbara, California, April 8th through the 10th. Join me for 3 days and check out amazing artists like Haywire, Blue Tech, Keller Williams, and Kyla Centilla, as well as workshops, healing services, creative villages, dancing all night at the Silent Disco, and interactive art displays. Also leading up to the festival, April 4th through the 7th, is the first Lucid University immersive learning opportunity. If you want to have fun, grow, connect, and better your life, mark your calendar April 4th through the 10th for the entire Lucidity experience. You can save over $100 when you bundle tickets for Lucid University and Lucidity Festival. Learn more about both events and get your tickets today at lucidityfestival.com. Use my special discount code LucidPlanet when you purchase for a $15 discount.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016.
Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now through March for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with Dr. Rick Strassman talking about theories and models of the DMT experience, God, and the soul and consciousness. Wow, this has been an awesome show. And when we left off, I had mentioned that Dr. Strassman's kind of the understanding that he's working with right now is quite a controversial one. And it's the idea that kind of we can use DMT and other Western psychedelic drug experiences to understand prophecies in the Old Testament, and that maybe there can be a kind of top-down approach where maybe we are downloading messages from the divine or connecting to the divine when we are on DMT. Did I get that right, Dr. Strassman?
Close. I'd say about 85%.
I'll take it. Woo!
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty mind-bending and also, you know, difficult to get your head around kind of model, you know, because it, taps into a spiritual text and a spiritual, you know, tradition that most people don't identify with, you know, the psychedelic experience, the drug state, you know, the psychedelic subculture, the New Age, you know, neo-paganism, sure. Eastern religious ways of looking at, you know, the psychedelic experience. But I studied all those models to understand and integrate the effects of DMT, and I was fully satisfied with any of them. I'm either because they went against the grain of the experience, you know, in the case of Zen practice or Zen study, or else they, you know, denied one of the most essential features of the DMT experience, which is its, you know, sense of reality. You know, so that included all three of the models: the Zen model, the psychoanalytic, and the biological, you know, psychiatry model. You know, so I kind of looked into, you know, some of the new physics, you know, ways of understanding usually invisible realities, and kind of examine theories of dark matter and parallel universes. And I think, you know, those were helpful, you know, mechanistically, but they didn't really help with, you know, some of the, larger questions, like why are things, you know, designed in this way? For example, you know, why does, you know, DMT, if it does, you know, provide us, you know, to access parallel universes or dark matter, you know, why things are configured that way? You know, so the existential kinds of questions, you know, the philosophical kinds of questions weren't answered or, you know, weren't even, you know, raised within a scientific model. And also the, you know, scientific models weren't, you know, designed to probe what the meaning or the, you know, value of the information contained in those states might be. You know, so for both of, you know, those reasons, I started to think that I would use, you know, the religious model as, you know, kind of, you know, my default, and then started to study Judaism again. I was raised Jewish, you know, had a smattering of knowledge of Hebrew by the time I was bar mitzvahed, you know, but had kind of, you know, dropped it. I had, you know, gone off to Zen for 20 years and was, you know, studying psychiatry and pharmacology. You know, so I, you know, began to read the Hebrew Bible, and the notion of a prophetic state began to dawn on me, because it, you know, seemed as if, you know, the prophets, Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, experienced, you know, visions and voices, and they interacted with usually, you know, non-visible entities and beings, you know, God or God's angels. You know, so it, you know, began to, you know, look like a DMT experience. In, you know, some ways anyway. I mean, obviously the kind of information which is transmitted in the Hebrew Bible is profound. It's, you know, lasted 3,000 years, continues to exert an influence on all aspects of, you know, civilization, our art, our theology, philosophy, economics, law and aesthetics, poetry, you know, wisdom, all those things. As compared, you know, to the information which is coming out of, you know, the psychedelic experience, which is valuable, but isn't, I think, anywhere, you know, nearly as, you know, highly articulated and influential and, you know, perennial as the information contained in the Bible. You know, so I started, you know, comparing.
No, you go. You continue. You're fine.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask.
Well, yeah, so I.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could just, you know, go on a rant, you know, and it would be, I, you know, think it would be more, you know, valuable, you know, to,
if you
ask your question.
One of the basic questions that comes to mind is, are you saying that you think that the prophets were using psychedelics, or is it more that the model in the Old Testament is something that we can use to understand psychedelic use today?
Yeah, well, I think there isn't a need to look for external, you know, sources of DMT when looking at the experiences of the prophets in the Hebrew Bible.
Okay.
One of the strengths of this, you know, theory is the fact that DMT is, you know, produced in the human body. Is made in the lungs and sometimes in the pineal, most likely, because it was been recently demonstrated to be in the pineal of rodents. You know, so, you know, but even if the human pineal isn't making DMT, the lungs do, and you can just postulate, you know, that there's a increase in naturally occurring DMT in the human body, which is mediating, you know, some of the phenomenology of prophecy.
Do you think that, I mean, so what it sounds like is that DMT can connect us to the divine, potentially, or at least open up our minds to receive information from the divine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Right. I think that, yeah, I would agree with that. Oh, and you know, one thing too is that it's important to use, or, you know, to clarify, you know, my, you know, definition of, you know, prophecy. It's usually considered to be foretelling or predicting. But if you kind of expand the idea to include any spiritual experience which is written in the Hebrew Bible, it could be any spiritual state or any of a spiritual states, you know, characteristics, you know, such as inspiration, you know, visions and voices, out of body experience, extreme emotions, interacting with beings, asking questions, getting answers, those kinds of things. You know, so it is a much more expansive, you know, definition than purely predicting or foretelling the future, which, you know, can occur in the prophetic experience, but, you know, not always.
Man, you know, so I just want to say, we are so close to being out of time, and I still feel like I have so many more questions for you, Dr. Straussman. Will you come and do another show with us in a couple months? Will you come back on?
Can we? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be.
Awesome.
I'd be happy to. Yes.
Cool. There's still so much I want to talk about. But we have like about a minute left. What are your closing thoughts? Let's do that.
My closing thoughts. Well, I think one should keep an open mind when thinking about the psychedelic experience.
I think that's an awesome piece of advice. We don't know. And the more anyone kind of experiments with psychedelics, we kind of understand that there's a lot that we don't know. And science doesn't have necessarily all the answers, and maybe neither does religion, but there is a possible synergy here. And, you know, whether psychedelic experiences can connect us to the divine or if it's just DMT, it's hard to say, right?
That's right. I think we're just beginning to, you know, probe around in an objective manner and try to understand what the psychedelic state, especially that brought on by DMT, consists of and what it's trying to tell us.
Yes. In other words, there is so much more to come in this area. And I am pretty optimistic that the future is going to bring us a lot more psychedelic research, psychedelic psychiatry, as this field continues to expand and grow. So thanks in large part to MAPS and people like Dr. Straussman. So Dr. Straussman, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks a lot. I enjoyed our chat, brief
yeah,
as it was.
Me too. Yeah, I know. I'm seriously, I would love to have you back on to continue this discussion. I had a wonderful time. And listeners out there, please continue to join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on WBLQ 1230 a.m. and Transformation Talk Radio. You can find out more about us at thelucidplanet.com and find me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. You can listen to all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com as well as iTunes and SoundCloud. Just type in Lucid Planet Radio. And I will see you this weekend at Lucidity Festival. You guys up in Santa Barbara, I will be back on the West Coast and there's still time to get tickets. Go to lucidityfestival.com and use the code LucidPlanet for a discount. Much love. And I will see you next week. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.